Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
The entrance of God's word giveth light
and understanding to the simple.
That light shines in the darkness,
and the darkness cannot comprehend it.
So arise, shine,
for your light is come.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the light of God's word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
In obedience to us,
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless our hearts by the power of your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'd like you to walk to 10 people and sing welcome. Don't say welcome. You can say welcome. You are welcome tonight. Sing welcome. Don't say welcome. Sing it. I'm excited in my spirit. I really am excited in my spirit. Can we sing one more song?
Yahweh, 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 Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh, something. This is how we are going to rejoice in the future. So what a good rehearsal tonight. Hallelujah. We are not praying in tongues for nothing, brothers and sisters. Are you listening to me? I want to encourage you. We are not praying in tongues. I know that it doesn't make sense. Many of you left the ring. At least I know I saw a sister. She put a letter on her head and was just moving, and I said, Lord, how won't this lady be great? Hallelujah. That because of the investment of God's word that you have in your spirit, in the future when men are crying and say there's a leaking down, I'm so spiritual, I can't even say. Hallelujah. So when men say there is a casting down, when they come around your neighborhood, they will find, as it were, in Egypt and Goshen, that darkness on one side, But then they will see the rising. So when you come to my family, although we can't sing it, but we'll sing it anyway. Hagidi kwae. Hey, don't stand up. Hagidi kwae. Hey. I don't plan to fight with my wife. I don't plan to beat my children. I don't know why God is doing this, but every time you see God initiating joy, there is weakness in that place. Because according to God's word, the strength of the Spirit flows from a fountain called joy. Hallelujah. So every time there's weakness and discouragement, it melts away when there is joy. Hallelujah. Many of you came with discouragement and several things. And for some of you who are coming here for the first time, say these people, why are they just happy like this? How many of you have seen people under the anointing laughing? You know why they laugh? They're not just laughing because when the power of God takes them out from the grip of this realm, their spirit is in touch with what the Holy Ghost is doing. Hallelujah. And every time they perceive victory in the realm of the spirit, then they laugh. And you just watch them under the anointing laughing. But there's great victory in the realm of the spirit. And I want to tell you we're victorious people. How many of you are confident about your future? No, because listen, I don't just want you to be excited for nothing. Are you listening to me? I'm confident. Because of the word of God that I have. That's why every time I have the opportunity to hear God's word, I don't take it for granted. Through faith we understand, Hebrews 11 verse 3, that the world, the system, were framed by the word of God. I'll be sharing very briefly and then we'll pray. I want us to pray tonight. Apostolic and a prophetic ministry is that number one, you must draw people closer to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That every time they step into God's presence, they are drawn to a greater level of love and intimacy. Number two, that you must equip the people with the knowledge they need to reign in life. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The understanding of God's system and His principles will grant you access to victorious life in this realm. Hallelujah. For the Bible says he made two great lights, the greater one to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And so when that light comes into your spirit, you will rule both in the day and in the night. The world is full of darkness everywhere, from recession to political crisis. Hallelujah. And there's chaos everywhere. And that leads me to the third proof of a true apostolic and prophetic ministry. They must address the needs of the people and the society. Hallelujah. Any ministry that cannot address the needs of the people and the needs of the current society is out of touch with God's program. For the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. Hallelujah. And so we are called to illuminate, to bring light, to bring understanding. Hallelujah. The body of Christ, the ministries that God has planted around different environments are vested with the responsibility to shine as beacons of light and explain to men what is happening. Hallelujah. The body of Christ in any environment should have adequate direction and precision. They should be guided to understand the program and the patterns of the Spirit. And by the grace of God, that's what we are committed to doing here. Like Habakkuk, we are always standing upon our watch to hear what the Lord is saying. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch to hear what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I love the book of Daniel because it's a very, very powerful book. Prophetically, it gives us a picture of the journey. Please look up. It gives us the picture of the journey of a believer. Hallelujah. For the Bible says that although we are in the world, it says we are not of the world. Hallelujah. So Daniel found himself in a land called Babylon. And his life and that of his friends is a clear example of how believers can reign in a wicked and perverted system like we have. And so we're going to be looking at just a few things and we'll pray to encourage us. Hallelujah. 3 verse 1, if you are there, say amen. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 3 score cubits and the breadth of it 6 cubits and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Stop, look up. The first thing that happened was that Nebuchadnezzar lifted an image. Hallelujah. He lifted an image. The Bible makes us to understand that it was about 90 feet tall, pure gold. Not Eleganza's imitation jewelry, pure gold. Hallelujah. And for me, when the Lord led me here and I began to study, I said, why didn't he just say, worship me? Why did he create the image of himself? Hallelujah. Why didn't he just say, come to the palace and worship me? He created, because the system of Satan is such that he wants to magnify himself. And he created an image bigger than himself. It was his own image, but it was 90 feet. And he said, okay, we're going to read on. And he created an image. The Bible says, thou shalt have no gods before me. But then he created an image so that everywhere around Babylon you would see that image. And hear me, this is what Satan is attempting to do in a system. Hallelujah. He's using different structures and systems to create an image of himself. He's creating an image in the educational sector, creating an image in over people's finances, creating an image because it had always been his desire. He said, I will rise and exalt myself above the stars of God. Hallelujah. Satan has always wanted a position where he will be glorified and lifted. A position that only God is worthy. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar made a 90 feet pure gold image. Let's read on. 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and governors and the captains and judges and treasurers, the counselors. Take note of the kind of people he is gathering to come to this image. Can you see ordinary people there? Not yet. Look at the caliber of people. The first thing is that he exalted an image. And then he began to search for all the nobles. Hallelujah. All the, what as we call it, men of timber and caliber. And he began to call them and say, come, I have exalted an image. Hallelujah. And every time Satan wants to capture a society, he does not look for the ordinary people. Now you understand why Satan seems to be on your case. Hallelujah. The Bible says when Nebuchadnezzar lifted this image, he began to call people. Let's read on. I trust that God will open your eyes to see the revelation I'm about to bring out. Hallelujah. The counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image. Listen. Did you hear that he called any ordinary man there? There were no ordinary people. He called the governors, the high ones. Hallelujah. And he said, come for the dedication of that image. You know why? Because every time Satan captures the strong men in a land, he has captured that land. Hallelujah. And that's what Satan is trying to do. That's why when you begin to prosper, when you begin to be rich, when you begin to be blessed, when you begin to have influence, Satan begins to call you to that image. There is an image that Satan has crafted. It's in every nation, every community. And the ministry of Satan is to search for the nobles. Are you listening to me? Are you getting me? Hallelujah. So Satan begins to scout for the nobles, the rulers of provinces, great men, and then he calls them to come and pay allegiance to that image. Let me tell you something. Satan wants everybody, but he's not interested in everybody. Are you listening to me? Believe me. That's why some very unserious believers say, Satan is not disturbing me. You made yourself so irrelevant in the kingdom that he knows that every time he wants to take you, it's a simple issue. And he's looking for those who are making this kingdom move. Where are the nobles? Where are those who, by reason of their prayers, communities can stand still? Where are those who are serious with the things of God? Where are the people that God has made a promise that they will be custodians of destiny? Hallelujah. And that's why you see Satan looking for strategic people. How many of you know the Illuminati? Freemasons. There's no weak and beggarly person among them. As a matter of fact, if they initiate you, it's only a moment of time you must be influential. Hallelujah. So every time they begin to notice the bright ones, they call you and begin to negotiate. They lift that image and they draw you. They say, come for the dedication of this image. Hallelujah. He said, when the Lord showed me this, I said, my God, can you imagine? He didn't call the weak people. He didn't call the beggarly people. At least not yet. He called the nobles. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. In our generation, Satan does not call us by just saying, come. He lures people by their lusts and appetites. Are you following me now? When Jesus was hungry, if Satan had brought a woman there to tempt Jesus, Jesus said, what are you saying? I've been fasting for 40 good days. Do you have common sense? 40 days, no food, no water. And so he found what the need of Jesus at that time would be. When a man fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, what will he want? Food. And he said, you are the Son of God. Prove it if you really are the Son of God. When the Father had already said, this is my beloved Son. Isn't it amazing how Satan will always make you prove what God has said? You don't need to. There are too many people trying to prove things about their life that God has already said. If God says you are wonderfully and fearfully made, every other point irrelevant. And so Satan begins to say, if you are great, come. And many of people, that's how many people are lured into drinking and smoking and so many things. Hallelujah. Out of pressure, Satan exalts an image. And let me tell you, there are many images that represent the image of Nebuchadnezzar, situated in many places. What's the assignment? To search for the nobles. Are you listening to me? This is very, very important. When God began to open my eyes to this scripture, as a revelation of the prophetic things that the devil is doing, and then the program of God, even for this season. Hallelujah. Hear me. Satan doesn't want you to stop being rich or stop being blessed. When he tries to afflict you in your body or your finances, it's not because he wants to frustrate you. He wants to, or he doesn't want you to be blessed. When you come to him, he will still make you that thing that he's killing you. The only thing he's looking for is that you pay allegiance. Hallelujah. And so, when you begin to sing, they call you and say, MTV wants to do a show. And the way you are like this, they are underutilizing you in this church. That's an image that is lifted. And they call for the nobles. They don't call for everybody. How many of you have had MTN and Glow looking for ordinary people? They always look for the best. The world system will always look at governors, princes, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers of provinces. These are the caliber of people that were lured to come for the dedication of that. Hallelujah. And there are so many believers today who are yielding to the subtlety of this image. Hallelujah. There are many representatives of Nebuchadnezzar in our generation and our time, drawing and luring people to the dedication of an idol. Listen, the first thing Satan does is he makes the idol so attractive that you will not see any reason. Why didn't he make it of silver or bronze? Glittering gold. So that when he draws you, it will look like it. Hear me. Any success that is not framed from God's word, even if it looks like it, is only a mirage. Hallelujah. So, when you want to trust God and be great, Satan begins to send Nebuchadnezzar around. And they begin to lure you. They tell you, see the opportunities. Hallelujah. How many of us have had to be in a straight betwixt? Especially those who are gospel artists. And people come to meet you and tell you, do you know we can... what is this? When you compromise, we can do this and that. And people sit down and sleep over it. Let's read on. Help us tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. And they gather together. Verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Listen, the people, nations, and languages were not there in the initial meeting. When he had captured all the nobles, then he announced, isn't it? I'm revealing to you something powerful. Hallelujah. Every time Satan wants to capture a community, he first captures the nobles. When he captures the nobles, then they are compelled because they are helpless. He begins to command and make decrees. And that's exactly what is happening in our nation, Nigeria. Hallelujah. Satan is interested in the pastors, the ministers, the wealthy people, the senators, those in key positions. And then when he gets them, certain decrees will be passed. And the general public have no, you can't contest, you can just be angry and quarrel in your house. But these are policies. Are you getting blessed? There are policies that will not bring glory to God. How be it? Because Satan has captured those who are supposed to be the nobles. And that's the reason why God has sectioned out a remnant. Are you listening to me? That's why God is putting meetings like this to say, friends, Satan is going to attempt to give you all these things, but it's only a mirage. I will give it to you. It may be slow. It may take time, but you will emerge a champion. And I want you to know that every one of you who found yourself in this place tonight, I need you to understand that you are a threat by default to the kingdom of darkness. No, don't shout amen. It's the truth. You are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And hear me. What Satan will want to be doing right now is to be opening men to things that look like promotion. Hear me. We've been preaching on success and increase and blessings. Are you listening to me? And now that our heart is ripe and ready to receive this, Satan runs in quotes ahead of God and builds a gold image so that in your journey to look for success, suddenly you will see a gold image. And Satan will say, this is what you have been looking for. Are you listening to me? And so we are talking about being blessed and being prosperous. And if you do not understand that Nebuchadnezzar also has the capacity to build an image called gold, many of us will begin to glory at false and vain things. So you may begin to, it will begin to show you, your suit will change. And people will say, wow, this brother things are beginning to work. Koinonia, the impact of God's word on you. How be it, you are beginning to violate the principles and the patterns of the spirit. Because you have only benefited from the meeting that was summoned by Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to be successful, you know, academically and everything. And now, exams is coming. And so quickly, in your room or anywhere, there will be an image, 90 feet pure gold, that will be lifted. And then Satan will come to you because you are a noble person. And said, I'm inviting you. There's plenty. There's room for compromise. And many of us say, Kai, I have to make sure the word of God. You know, that's why. Listen, let me tell you something. Don't be under pressure to prove that the word of God is working. It is working. Are you listening to me? Don't be under pressure. When people get into unnecessary pressure, you begin to bribe and cheat and wear suits. And people say, boy. I mean, Pastor, please, can you stand? No, everybody, I appreciate you. You're looking so, you're looking so smart. You can imagine when you see, Pastor Stephen standing and you look at him. And say, the word of God is producing results. I like to be like this. And what happens? Immediately you make that statement. Satan will wait for you and build an image. Pure gold. And as you're stepping out, you say, is this not what you are looking for? God is delaying you, but this is faster, is better. No process, no going through anything. All you need to do is come for the dedication of that image. Because you will, as will be seen, in the dedication of that image, you will be required to bow down. Let's read on. Help us, Holy Spirit. Verse 5. That at the time that ye hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, and all of that, and that, then we'll read, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image. Fall down and do what? Fall down and worship. For falling down and worship, you can experience certain dimensions of prosperity. For falling down to worship, right now there's recession everywhere. Hallelujah. People are crippled over their finances. Families are in trouble. You know, several things are going wrong. And in the midst of that confusion, let me tell you something. Satan always waits when there is confusion, and he takes advantage of the desperation of people. He waits until people are desperate, then he lifts an image. And says, only bow down and worship. Hallelujah. And we have so many believers who are bowing down to this image of Babylon. bowing down financially, bowing down academically, bowing down even in marriage and relationships, bowing down. There are several things that are happening, and then everybody just dresses well and we come on Sunday. That's why, let me tell you something, the Bible says envy not the wicked. The fact that somebody is blessed and looking nice is not necessarily proof that that's the word of God working in the person. Hallelujah. I am not interested in any success and victory that I cannot see God in it. We celebrate too many things without asking that whether or not the hand of God is in it. If there are two people, come sir. If this guy stands right now and I stand close to him, everybody just looks and says, I have more faith and I'm closer to God. Simply because maybe when they look at the suit and then just see him doing his work, wearing his tag and everything. Now, that's a false mindset. Because there are so many people that want to prove that they are successful by trying to get all the things they can get now. And when God is saying, stay, I am building you. You are bearing roots downwards. Satan brings gold. Let me tell you something with Satan. He will not demand much initially because he wants to lure you. God will tell you the truth and tell you, this is it, but come. Satan will tell you, you will not see the end of the story yet. And Satan will tell you, come, just bow. Little will you know that that's just one over many things you're going to be doing. Hallelujah. And so the Lord began to tell me that there is discouragement in the body. There is, as a result of the whole reception and the things that are happening, war everywhere. Zaria, Kaduna in the north, and people seem not to be making the kind of progress that they see in God's word. Are you listening to me? And in a sincere quest to get there, not knowing that God is building us, not knowing the proof of your progress is not external manifestations. You must stand, align yourself in the realm of the spirit to see that you are making progress. So that at the end of 1 year of praying in tongues and speaking God's word, you still have one trouser. And Satan lifts up a golden image and says, are you not seeing? Are you not seeing people change around you? Does this not make sense? Is this not an easy way? And let me tell you something. I'm sorry to say it, but many of our parents have found themselves bowing to this image. And that's how they've gotten the wealth. That's why the more we press into God, the more their wealth begins to irritate us. And many of us are even wondering why. Because what the Lord told me at the beginning of this year while I was preparing, having a retreat, when God told me it was a season of harvest, He also told me it was a time of judgment. And what I saw, the door, my door just, it was like a field. And I saw like the same way Bin Laden, the way the plane came. And it came and hit, it really hit the building. I had been announcing since 2010 that the Lord told me another recession is coming. Hallelujah. When I said it in 2007, that a recession, 2008, I said the Lord told me a recession is coming. And many other people, great servants of God, confirmed it. When the recession happened, I said again, 2009, 2010, that the Lord told me another recession is coming. Let me tell you something. This mess that is going on in the world is going to bring another recession. And hear me, it will be more devastating than the first. It will cost people. The Lord told me that it will come with judgment too, but many believers will be frustrated because at that time, several images will be lifted. That's when the Lord took me to this book. Many images will be lifted. And let me tell you, there will be an easier way. And the easier way is to bow down. Are you listening to me? Are you getting blessed tonight? To bow down. For many ladies, they'll meet you and they'll tell you, won't you marry? Oh, yeah, let's go. There's one place. All you will need to do is what? Bow down. And how many people bow down in the night and then step out in the day and they look like God's people. They dress like God's people. They talk like God's people. But when the judgment of God hits, we will know those who have been bowing down and those who are standing in for truth. Hear me. Let no one deceive you. A judgment will come. And that's the reason why I bring this word to prepare our hearts. because Satan is calling so many people to bow down. We celebrate false success, false things. There's nothing wrong in dressing well and looking well and being successful. The only thing is that if it is not God's way, there are several of us that as you are pushing to make progress God's way, you find out that the process seems tiring and it wearies you, and you turn back and look at many people who have been bowing down to the system, moving at a level at an acceleration. How many people God is training you in the prophetic, and God will tell you, sit down. You've been praying for 6 months. God told you you're a prophet. You've not seen even a pin in the spirit. And God says, keep praying. But you see somebody just get up and suddenly he's moving in some unusual dimensions. Hold on. Before you celebrate him, let's find out if he bowed down. Are you listening to me? There are several people doing many great things, but behind the scenes, they have bowed down. And let me tell you, when this judgment hits, both the image and all those who have laid their heads will be victims. That's why I bring you this word. There are so many believers who are discouraged. When the Lord tells you, I will bless you, you are successful, you are prosperous, we are under pressure. There are many of our parents that are putting us under pressure simply because they are aligning themselves to the system. And then it's causing them to put us under pressure. And I've seen the Lord showed me that this pressure will increase. The quest to prove that you are successful. The quest to prove certain things. You look at yourself and say, by this age, I don't own a car. Now, wow, this world is, look at my classmates or look at my primary schoolmates. And when you sit down and look at the journey God told you, you see move before some things begin to work. Satan will say, is it not better to bow down? And it's easy to say, God forbid, I will bow waiting. But when you step out, for many of you who are rounding up your program right now, when you step out, you know, full of grace and vigor, and then after 6 months, there's no job, and you're still praying and say, I am blessed. My destiny is blessed. And people keep looking at you, and they say, bring 50,000 for the promotion. There's an image. And you don't bring, and people say, continue. After 1 year, let me tell you, you will still be confessing, but tears will come out of your eyes. And guess what? While you are crying, right now for many of you, when you look at the church and you look at the prophetic system, it looks like there is a mirror reflection of what should be happening. It looks like the world is laughing. They are getting blessed. Step into the bank and see those who are cashing in the millions. Only very few of them are believers. And so sometimes when you look at them, their life looks so attractive. That's the image of gold that is lifted. They are promoted within 3 months or 3 years. Someone who doesn't even qualify, it looks like favor. And you see the beauty and glory in his life. And yet you see certain believers traveling and waiting. But I bring you a message. There is a call by Nebuchadnezzar. He's calling the nobles. He's calling the generals. To the dedication of an image that is Antichrist. And he's compelling many to bow down. First, it will start like an invitation. And then afterwards, it will move to force and cruelty. Follow me. We're going to pray tonight. Help us, Holy Spirit. We give you the highest praise to the King. We give you the loudest praise to the King. We lift up holy hands, highest praise to the King. We lift up holy hands, highest praise. It is a song from the uncompromising one. Finances, because you have refused to bow down. There are some of you who are where you are in your relationship. You are not married yet because you have refused to bow down. There are some of you that have been hated by your family members. Every time they mount pressure on you, there is a call by Nebuchadnezzar to bow to that idol. But for every time you stand, for many of you, you have been standing and it looks like you will never make it. The Bible says, haven't done all to stand. Stand. When you stand, they will call you to bow. But for us, of music were used to announce a change and a birthing of a new season. Hallelujah. That every time there was a sound of a shofar, it was a prophetic symbolism. Hallelujah. For it was said that after seven Sabbaths, in the season of Jubilee, there shall be a blowing of the trumpet. And when the shofar is blown, it will announce to men that it's a season of liberty. And it says, those whoever has been captive in that season of Jubilee, there will be release. Hallelujah. After seven Sabbaths, Job came to a point in his life where, although he was a great man in the east, he was beaten, he was an object of mockery. And a time came, even his wife said, why don't you just bow, come God? And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Let me tell you, the kind of Christianity that loves God only because things are going well and only because the word of God is working, it's easy to give God praise. It's easy to say, Lord, I love you and I will stand for you. When people are asking you all kinds of questions and saying, where is your God? On one side, they are telling you, where is your God? And then there is an image waiting. Why don't you just bow down? Why don't you just bow down to that image and then you'll be married? Just bow down and you graduate a first class student. Just bow down and you work in an oil company. The Lord sent me here tonight to bring men and women to a point of resolute decision that we will not bow. Verse 6. And whoever faileth, listen to the decree. And this is what is happening all across the nation. All of the things that are happening are a dimension of pressure that Satan is mounting upon the church to bring us to points where we will bow. Read with me verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of burning fiery furnace. So he first starts softly. Nobles, come. Generals, come. I'll give you a beautiful life. And then he says, no. This does not look like the glorious destiny. And then he says, come. And then he gets fierce and says, come. A time will come, you say, there are consequences. He said, and whoso falleth not down. Talking about the remnant. Hallelujah. That's what Satan is doing. Satan is making life difficult for young people. They graduate and not, it looks like they didn't even go to school. Several things. And many of you have been confessing God's word. But you cannot understand. And Satan is just, is God faithful? But God is saying, if you will see that I'm preparing a table, that you hang on, that a season will come. Many trumpets have been blown, but the day the shofar of the Spirit is blown, every general will know that this is the real shofar. Satan moves like, he roars like a lion. But there is one who is called the lion, not a lion, the lion. There are many trumpets that are announcing false seasons. And many people have been entering all kinds of aberrations and they call it season. But there is a trumpet. And for those who know God, we are waiting. We are standing like Habakkuk upon our watch. We may suffer temporarily for it. There are many of you that are going through. Some of you came here tonight hearing a word. Lord, why am I going through what I'm going through? And God said, hold on. It's not because you don't have faith. It's not that the word is not working. A season is soon coming. And when that season comes, a shofar will be blown. And when it is blown, we who have aligned our ears to be receptive to the sound of the Spirit, when we hear of that sound, then we will know that the time of Jubilee is come for the church. And then we will step into a level of prosperity and inheritance. But for now, I admonish you, general, build. It may cost you tears, but do not bow. The trumpet is coming. Everything you hear around is an aberration from Satan. I bring you a word from the powers of the Spirit. The trumpet has not yet been blown, but it will be blown. Our preparation, our praying in tongues, God is calling many of you. Pray, feel, fast. While you're doing that, there's a 90-foot image that is raised to lure you from the place of prayer. A false indication of prosperity. But I bring you a prophetic word from the Lord tonight. That the season is coming. And the shofar will be blown. And your parents will know you are not a failure. That they that laughed at you will laugh with you. Nina Imaka, 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 Oh, I sense the spirit of prayer in this place. I'll round up very quickly and have us pray. I sense the mantle of general. I sense that God is praising us up for prayer. There are many of you that have been stripped from your clothes, but arise, general. Put on your uniform. Who told you you are a failure? I want to read something for you. 19. He said, verse 8, it says, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans, it started by calling them certain people. There were certain people who meandered their way into this story because he gathered nobles. That means, according to the world's definition, they were not nobles because they were not called ordinary people. Certain Chaldeans. Then such a strong spirit of prayer. There is a quickening of the spirit in this place. Sense a quickening of the spirit. That our joy be full. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came there and accused the Jews and spoke and this and that and that. Now let's go to 12. And there were certain Jews from, okay, that's the verse I wanted to take. And there were certain Jews from, thou hast set over the affairs, that's the Chaldeans reporting now, over the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and who? Abednego. He said, and these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. There were certain Jews, certain people who refused and said, no, we will not bow. They said, but you failed. They said, we will not bow. We will not bow. A time must come in your life where you realize that you are not just a nice citizen of Nigeria, but you are a general on your way to happen. And sometimes you need to look at Nebuchadnezzar eyeball to eyeball and say, hear me, although I've been gentle, let me introduce myself, that I'm not just a dove, but there is a lion in me. And when the occasion calls, it will roar. Hi. Let me hurry up. Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not worship, do ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Hear what they said. Verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at that time, that ye hear the sound and all of that and all of that, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? Listen to Babylon. They always speak in arrogance. They always speak as though there is no God. You say, only a fool would say in his heart, there is no God. Many of you look at you and say, who is that God? Who is that God? What is he called? Where is he from? Because the prosperity of fools will destroy them. When they become rich by their intercourse with Babylon, they do not know that there is a God that sits and watches the affairs of men. One who rotates time in his hand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, Kabosatababia, O Lord, that you give us grace to confront the system fearlessly. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. There is a kind of matter that you don't answer carefully. That you say, when it comes to the affairs of the kingdom I represent, I am not careful. When it comes to bribery and corruption, when it comes to evil, I am not careful. Tonight, God brought you here to set you on fire. Hear me, verse 17. This is a revelation of real faith. Not the kind of faith that we preach. The kind of faith that if results are not there yet, people say, where is your God? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Oh yes, he is. He's able to deliver us. We are not afraid of the fiery furnace. We are not afraid. There are many of you, your supervisors have kept you. You would have rounded up your project, but because you have refused to bow to Babylon. Hear me. Tonight, God will do something dramatic. You didn't just come to watch. You came to receive. He said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He said, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. They were confident. But many of us stopped there. 18, please. Can you go to verse 18? But if not, tell me, but if not. That means my allegiance is not dependent on the results I see. But if not, many people say, when you say but if not, it's lack of faith. Well, to an extent I agree, but when it comes to this matter, this is real faith. So many believers have suffered casualties. There are many of our parents who have been blackmailed and they are at home right now. Many of us are suffering the casualty because of their faithfulness. They refused to compromise. They refused to sign the check. And so they were downsized and retrenched. And they went honorably. There are many ministries today that may not be manifesting certain levels of prosperity yet. They don't have increase and expansion yet. They don't have all of these things. But you see the travail. You see the work. And many people look and judge carnally. I tell you something. There will be a sound of a shofar. A Kairos moment is coming. But if not, be it known unto you, O King, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, if I tell you that they were without fear, it will be a lie. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to stand in the midst of it. Stand in the midst of it. And the Bible says, when we read the other scripture, it said the furnace was made 7 times hotter. That's how Satan threatens many people. After 2 years, if you sit at home, no job, no money, and you feel the bitter pang of not being established in court, then Satan says, are you ready to bow? And he said, I've made up my mind. I will not bow to this thing. We live in a generation where believers are not trained to stand for what they believe at all costs. But a generation is arising that will not compromise. And the Bible makes us to understand in verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the fiery furnace. Many of you are in that point. After making a decision for God, you step back thinking that you were supposed to step in, and then you found yourself going to the fire. And like Job, you Verse 23, we have to round up. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Humanly speaking, that's the end of a man. Because the Bible says that those who threw them died from the heat of the flames. But here's the miracle that our generation will experience. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Stop. That's going to be. Because when they think that is all, suddenly, out of this ashes, there will come a rising. A rising. Out of the hopelessness, there will come a rising. He said, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And answered, they answered and said unto him, true, O king. 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose I see four men loose, walking, not bound, walking. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Tell me. It says, no, verse 65. And they have no heart. Say after me, no heart. So how does God plan to take away the scars that seem to be on us now? That's a divine act of His sovereignty. It gives you an example of the kind of restoration that He will bring. It says, no heart. Hallelujah. Now, the most interesting part of verse 25 is, He said, and the form of the fourth is like the sun. The form, He doesn't look like them. When John was caught up, he said, I saw one, Revelation 1, that looked like the Son of Man. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he made an acknowledgement. And this is our mission. The world must make this acknowledgement. These servants of the Most High God. These servants of the Most High God. He said, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. 27. And the princes, remember our princes? Remember those people we discussed? Now let's see. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw this man, upon whose bodies the fire had no, nor was an hair of their head singed. He said, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, we did, we did. The world will join us singing this song. The God of Joshua Selman. Blessed be the God. Kabo Soto Bakaya. Blessed be the God who has sent His angel and delivered His servant that trusted in Him. Not just any servant, those that trust Him and have changed the king's word and have changed the decree made by the kings of nations and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. And then the ultimate pursuit of the church is realized. Verse 29. At that point He will be called King of Kings. Therefore, I make a decree that every people and every nation and every language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Your kingdom reign. Your kingdom reign. Above all, 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 above all,
life. Verse 30. I wanted us to read verse 30.
Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. 31, the last verse. Nebuchadnezzar the king. Is that verse 30? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a province that was not their kingdom, but they were promoted and lifted because they decided to wait for the season of God. Listen, they didn't ask to be promoted, they didn't beg for it, they didn't lobby for it. Their faithfulness, their staying power, their resilience, their tenacity, their resolve brought them to a point of promise. Hear me. I'd like you to know that there's been a replay of this exact chapter in our generation. And that's what is happening right now. There are many people who have been thrown in the fiery furnace. You've gone through certain, in quote, hopeless situations. And in the midst of it, we cannot understand what God is doing. But I bring you a word that is bringing beauty and glory out of your life. And that is using you as an epistle to change and break the arrogance of people. Many of you have had to cry. Many of you even in this meeting are crying right now because of the weight of the things that you've gone through. Hear me. I bring you a word. On account of his vision, he went to the pit. On account of his dream, he was in Potiphar's house. On account of his dream, he went. That's why when you see a believer going through certain challenges, don't be the first person to open your mouth and say this person is not serious with God. The Bible says, judge not. Shut up. You don't know what is happening and what is pressing in the realm of the spirit. The Bible says, and the later end of Job's life exceeded his former. He had a double portion of everything. We are going to be praying. And say, Lord, pray. Make a decision that I will not bow to that image. Go ahead and raise a cry. That I will not bow. Many of us are already bowing. You came into this meeting and God is asking you to make a resolve. No matter how tempted, refuse to be under pressure. God's word is working in your life. Make it a brand of Catabalia. And while the world is being done, then we will hear the sound of the shofar. It will symbolize our season. This is the labor that brings rest. God said, let us therefore labor to enter that rest. It may cost you, but it's a labor that will give you rest. Go ahead and pray. Lord, the same power, even when my life does not look like it, grace to stay. You may cry, but there's grace for you. It may be challenging, but there is grace. Don't let anybody preach you out of this reality. God is still faithful. The shofar will sound. And when it sounds, they that have borne root downward will bear fruit upward. And we will cause the kings of the earth to say, blessed be the servants of the Most High God. That every tongue, every nation, every tribe will acknowledge that He is Lord. That's what this is all about. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm going to be praying for a special set of people. And the Spirit of God told me that there are people that came here at the very end of the road. They've asked all kinds of questions that they can ask about the faithfulness of God. And for many of you, you were about giving up when your roommate or your friend told you to come. And hear me, tonight God is going to be giving you the same power to explain to you that what is happening in your life is not as a result of your own belief, as many people will think sometimes. Therefore, I'm going to make this altar call for certain people, not everybody. Don't just be emotional about it and rush out. There are people that know that you've been crying for an explanation and say, Lord, will a change come? There's nothing going on well in my life and my family. Everything seems to be falling out of place. The only thing you can stand on is that He's faithful. And every time you cry, some of us watch our parents cry, and in the midst of their tears, they still say, Lord, I know You are faithful. Bless God for the kinds of mothers that we have, that in the midst of these things, they say, You are faithful. Hallelujah. I'd like to invite those sets of people very quickly. We're out of time. I'd like you to leave your seat and come here quickly. I want to pray for you. Stay in grace. Stay in grace. I believe. Oh, there's a way.
Lord,
I bring you a message of hope. There is a way.
Lord, I believe.
I believe. Come on, cry out to God. God, an end will
come.
Hallelujah. One of my greatest phrases or clause of comfort in the Bible is, and it came to pass. Powerful scripture. It never comes to stay. It says, and it came to pass. No matter how long it is, the Bible says, though weeping endures for a night. Hear me. There are several situations represented here. And tonight God brought you to Koinonia to tell you there is a way. No matter how long the night is, the morning will come. The night is proof that morning will come. Those of you who are standing here, I'd like you to begin to pray and say, Lord, there's grace to stay. I will still not bow. I will not bow. I've made my pledge an allegiance to His Excellency. They can call you names. There are many of you, you are the only believer in your family, and it has costed you so much. Go ahead and receive grace and say, I will not bow. Even if they don't send me money, I will not bow. Men may not understand, but I will not bow. As judgment comes upon the earth, the shofar will blow, and I will arise and shine. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray for you very quickly. Hallelujah. Very quickly. Those of you standing in front, I'd just like you to, many of you who can, if you can, just lift your hand. Father, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, made a resolute decision and they said they will not bow. And Lord, although they were thrown, there was a fourth man. And Father, I thank you because according to Isaiah 43 verse 1 and 2, you've admonished us and you said, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, you shall not be drowned. He said, when you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. And Father, I pray for these hands that are lifted. Lord, that you position them, that when the shofar blows, they will step into the realm of rest. And Lord, I pray for the staying power. There are several of them who are the only ones who represent light in their community. The only ones who represent hope. And Father, I pray that in spite of what they are going through, cause them to stay. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you have had to break from relationships and associations because you have refused to bow. Let me tell you something. A day will come, the nobles will be honored to come close to you. A day will come, the princes and the sheriffs, those who you seek their time and attention, will seek you and will pay for it. Only stay. Therefore, I release upon you the staying power. In the name of Jesus. Grace to wait for God's timing. Grace to wait for God's own shofar. Grace to take your eyes above and away from Nebuchadnezzar's image. And to lift up your eyes to the hill from whence cometh your help. I declare unto you that you will finish strong. I don't care what you are going through, I bring you a message. If it ever came, it will pass. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Hallelujah. Therefore, I call you victorious. I declare in the name of Jesus that there is supernatural grace for you. Whether in your finances, relationships, academics, whatever your job, I pray for the staying power. Never give up. God is not a man that you should lie. Not the son of man that you should repent. If he has prophesied over your life, that word will come to pass. Hallelujah. Appreciate them as they go back to their seats. Hallelujah. So I encourage everyone. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. Please say it like you believe it. In the name of Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And to be serious with him. Nothing and no one will take me away from this pursuit. No matter the cost, I've made up my mind to live by the word and to experience only God's results. I am confident that God is faithful. Hallelujah.